Hello and welcome to another episode of eDiscovery Chicks, the podcast about all things eDiscovery and legal tech, hosted by two gals who have very different feelings about leaving their house this week. Anyways, we're your hosts. That's Bree.
And that's Angie. And today we're going to do a real quick session where we're going to talk about cross collaboration. But before we get to the cross collab, yeah, I have some definite feelings about leaving my house, Angie, and I don't want to.
Okay, so tell me more about your feelings about leaving the house.
Oh, well, I mean, I think I've had 10 trips between August and now, and I kind of like to be at home where it's warm and comfortable and I have all my little whoobies, as my husband would say.
Oh my God, that is what we call Harper's pacifier.
Yes, well, everybody has like their little creature comforts here. And so we're going to hit the road between Houston and San Antonio. We're actually going to Bernie. But if anybody has been from Houston to that area of the world on a holiday, you know that the usual 3-hour drive is easily an 8-hour drive, and it's crazy. It is insane. And Buc-ee's is off the chain. So yeah, so that's where my feelings are. But I know you feel much differently than I do.
Yes, I had ankle surgery 5 days ago, and I have not left my house since then. Today, I opened the door to get a package. Oh my God, fresh air. I forgot what this was like. So I'm going to go out for a drink this evening.
Okay,
I am so excited.
Are you on crutches? Like, should you be drinking?
Are you sure? I am in a boot.
Okay. Ooh, sexy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I only have one pair of actual pants that can fit over the boot. So I'm going to be seeing, there's going to be a lot of these pants in my life for the next month.
You can wear a skirt, you know.
I don't actually think I own a skirt.
Really? I didn't know this about you.
Yeah. Like, okay. I might own one. Huh. I aspire to be a skirt girl. Oh my God, I'm supposed to go to Taylor Swift next weekend. We'll see.
I did not know that. You have to decorate your boot, like put some bracelets and glitter on it or something.
So my friend actually brought over a bunch of super inappropriate stickers.
I like your friend.
I mean, not safe for work. Like this is supposed to be a pretty clean podcast, so I actually can't tell you what the stickers are on this podcast. But she did dare me. She was like, you should wear them when you go back to the podiatrist. Just see if he comments on it.
I don't know. I didn't tell you this part about my trip to my family. So my brother also has been in bed because he had surgery. But let's just say the operation was on his hind area.
So
I told my parents, I was like, I cannot wait to get there and tell him every ass joke that I know and completely harass him. And my parents are like, you are a mean sister. I'm like, this is my job. This is the person I'm supposed to harass.
Does he need any inappropriate stickers?
He would love some, I'm sure.
Well, we will regroup after that. But in the meantime, shall we move along and talk about cross collaboration?
Yeah. Why are we talking about this in the first place?
Because it's a passion of both of ours. I guess we should start by defining cross collaboration. And so when I think about this term, to me, it means working outside of your lane, like working with people outside of your lane towards a common objective. So for me, that typically means working with like engineering or IT or PR or something like that.
I would just add on to that we're working together in a friendly way, in an open way, and in a multi-level way, right? Because I think that the idea of cross-collaboration really comes into play in several different workflows. Like we've got policies, we've got communication, we have tools, we have, you know, work processes. And there's a lot of cross-collaboration that can take place on many different levels. And it's important. It's important for all of us to be our very best and to do the best by our company when we cross-collab.
Yeah, agreed. And collaborating across different orgs can have just a multitude of benefits. The one that comes to mind for me is just the value of diverse expertise. I'm always in my role, I'm always trying to get to the right answer, but I'm by no means an expert in all of these fields. And so you have to loop in people who have a different skill set than you if you want to achieve these sort of complicated goals. Like e-discovery, information governance, all of this is a very complicated field and it involves a lot of different disciplines. Like for example, you know, if you're going to set a retention policy for your organization, you're going to need legal involved because you're going to need to know what the laws are. You're going to need IT involved and engineering to know what your technological capabilities are. You're probably going to want a business person involved so that you have a stakeholder who is a little bit more in tune with the business's needs.
If you think in your head of maybe like a bullseye graphic, I look at data, like a company's data being in the very middle on the bullseye. And then everybody else is all pulling on that same, I don't want to say data lake because that is such a cheesy phrase that gets overused and it's confusing. But everybody's kind of coming to that pool to dip in for different reasons, right? I mean, you have compliance that has their regulations that need to be followed and retention that they need to be worried about. And you have legal that has legal hold data and investigations. And you have security that also has investigations and cyber incidents. And then you have privacy. But everybody's coming back to the center of that circle, which is the same universe of data at a company. So why in the world would all those different groups not work together? Because they're all trying to accomplish something very similar with the same set of data.
Okay, I know that that was a really beautiful analogy to a bullseye, but anytime, uh-oh, the whole time, I was just thinking, God, do I need anything from Target?
I was thinking, I mean, it's been a while since I played darts. Oh, yes. Squirrel.
Squirrel. No, but really, I think it's also important to flag that drawing on diverse expertise like that reduces the likelihood of errors, oversights, and misses. I mean, I'm just going to play with this retention policy example. If I go in as legal and I decide I'm going to set this retention policy, but we can't actually enact it, you know, we don't have the technological capability to enact it, that policy is worthless. And same with IT, the reverse. If they decide, hey, this is what we're technologically capable of, this is going to be our retention policy, but that doesn't align with our legal responsibilities, that policy is also potentially worthless. So if you involve more people and you get more experts at the table, you're going to reduce the likelihood of errors and oversights.
When you do cross-collaborate with other teams, you actually add to your own value. You know, if I can learn some about IT and some about privacy and some about compliance, and I'm in the legal department, I bring more value to my team and I am a more valuable employee. And by the way, in doing so, I may even open up other career opportunities for growth or movement for myself. So it's in your best interest, in addition to being in the company's best interest. So I know a really popular collaboration really is between e-discovery and IT. You want to talk about bridging the gap between legal and I guess e-discovery sometimes falls in legal and sometimes is in legal ops and sometimes is even in IT. But legal and IT are like the farmer and the cowman can be friends, like from Oklahoma.
Oh my God. So many random memories from childhood just flooded my synapses.
Yes. Life is a big fat musical to Brie Murphy.
I really want to know what it's like to be in your head.
Oh, you don't. I woke up and told my husband my dream last night, and he's like, you are a very interesting person to know. His response.
Do you also have weird and vivid dreams?
Oh, big time. Big time.
Have we never talked about this?
Because we have to have a whole episode on dreams.
No, the day of my ankle surgery, I had a dream that morning. You know how sometimes you can't, like your alarm goes off, you hit snooze, whatever. And I had this dream that John threw a massive party at our house that morning. And he was like, well, it's a pre-surgery party. I was like, this isn't a thing. And he was like, well, it absolutely is. I invited all of your friends from high school, who I haven't talked to since high school. And he was like, no, I invited all of these people. We've got canapes. It's a whole thing. And I was like, I'm on clear liquids, motherfucker. And my dream, and it was, but the amount of detail, like I could tell you every appetizer that was at this fake
pre-surgery
party.
Yeah. Well, Last night, I bounced around to a lot of different realms in life, including I had a baby at some point. I was talking to the Queen of England at some point. Like, yeah, it was all over the place.
Oh, I love that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have officially chased a squirrel.
We have just gone off the rails.
So, no, legal and IT.
Legal and IT. I think one of my biggest tips for folks, and this like this goes both for people in the legal department as well as people in IT, is just make sure that you're using a common vernacular. Oftentimes, legal people say, you know, we will use terms of art and we will mean a very specific thing by those terms of art. And we think, of course, everyone should understand what this term of art means. But the IT people are in that same boat and they're using that same word in a very different way. One of my favorite examples is that I spent a long time talking to an IT professional about Slack data. I meant Slack like the messaging platform. He meant Slack data as in the space on your hard drive. And we went, both of us thought the other one had just lost their marbles, gone off the deep end, because we had this conversation that made absolutely no sense. And after a way too long, I was like, hey, this is what I'm talking about. Is this what you're talking about? And he was like, absolutely not.
Right.
So you got to have those checkpoints with people. Make sure you're speaking the same language.
Yeah. I mean, this is where I came up with the whole legal hold pet peeve of mine, where is legal hold the notice? Is legal hold the actual preservation? Because IT will think it's the preservation and legal will think it's the notice. And so we're not talking about the same thing. And that's important to establish. The other thing is there's a lot of shared tools between e-discovery processes and IT. And there's also tools within legal that would need to be integrated or tied into these processes. So this is another area for cross collaboration between legal and IT. Number one, we need to know, thinking about that bullseye, we need to know what data is on a friggin' legal hold, because nobody can do anything with that data until that hold is released or legal has given their blessing, right? And so that's an important piece of information. And as IT is asked to go dip from the pool of the data, they have to understand what that is. And in order to do that in an efficient way, you have to cross collaborate with one another. Where is it easy for IT to find that information in their workflow? Where is it easy for legal to communicate that in their workflow? Where can we automate this? What tools can we share? Those are some really good questions to ask one another.
Yeah. And so along those lines, Bree, I know we've kind of skirted around this, but communication is so essential to these relationships. So what are your thoughts on how to communicate effectively with people outside of your org that might use different colloquialisms, different jargon?
One of my favorite things I did when I worked in-house is I went on a legal hold roadshow, is what we called it. But it's really more like doing a pop-in at different events within departments. So like, for example, compliance might have their annual compliance conference, or the privacy team has their quarterly meeting, or IT security has their biannual whatevers. Whatever those meetings and conferences are that are important to that department, it's where they're getting together to kind of share, to communicate change, to strategize. Legal hold or e-discovery personnel or legal, whoever wears the hat, should be present and have a roadshow. Hey, this is what legal hold is. This is what preservation is. These are what our requirements are. This is why you care. This is how you can get in trouble. This is what we need from you. This is what we have in the policies. Being able to be present at the table where each of those other departments are coming together and strategizing, I think, is really an important piece of the communication. I also think it's important at the very beginning, hey, we have a legal matter that came in. When we're trying to understand scope and what's involved, that we're not looking with narrow blinders. We have a very wide range of people that we're checking in with. Hey, we have this lawsuit. It involves this data. Is it on retention? Is there privacy concerns? Where is it? You know, having people that you have on call to ask all those questions of, and having that little group, I don't know what we want to call that, the circle of trust, is an important thing.
I love this concept of a roadshow, and I almost want to flip it on its head, because I ask for mini roadshows all the time when I'm working cross-collaboratively. Like, I will, for example, when I'm working with a data analyst, I did this recently. I was like, hey, can we just put 30 minutes on the calendar? And I just want you to walk me through, pretend I'm a kindergartner and you're explaining how a database works. Can you just talk me through that? Because I want to be a better partner to you when we collaborate, when we work together. And I do that a lot. I think I just like chuck my pride out the window and ask the dumb questions.
Yeah.
And I ask people to talk to me like I'm five all the time because I just want to make sure I really understand the basics of
yeah.
it. And you know, I think it's important to work well with people and respectfully with people when you're collaborating across orgs. And I think part of that is respecting people's expertise and their time. Getting and receiving those little mini roadshows can go a long way towards furthering that goal.
Yeah. And I think any time that you have a part of your process where you have heartburn, like, for example, man, I have to put together a legal hold and preserve data as it might be responsive to fill in the blank matter. I don't know all the places that Angie's been chatting about this. That girl's all over the place. She chases squirrels left and right. Like, maybe she's on 10 sure, team groups. Maybe she's on 50,000 SharePoint sites. I don't know. I don't know how to wrangle that. That's heartburn for me because I can't control what my people are doing with their data. And I'm also responsible for making sure we're preserving anything responsive. This is a problem. So what do? We start communicating with IT. We start communicating with those admins. We start communicating with tools, people out there that have tools that can help me. And how do we figure this out as a company? How are we able to even see this? What would it take for us to be able to see this? When does it come into play? Does this concern anybody else? Starting to ask those questions helps you understand who the people are in your organization that have the same heartburn. And then maybe you can get a group discount at the pharmacist when you go for your heartburn.
That said, exactly. Adding to target list.
Exactly.
So what are some of your tips for creating a really collaborative culture?
Well, I mean, I think that it starts at the top. Honestly, it has to have buy-in from executive powers that be, because I think that that's where policies are approved and policies are made. And when we're making policies and adding to policies and changing policies, it's important to have a collaborative scope there. I do not want to have a legal hold policy that does not involve every single person in my organization that has to deal with data from a higher level anyway. I want the CISO there. I want somebody on their team there. And by the way, I don't only want the executives at this meeting. I need the people that are actually doing the work to be involved, because we can come up with all kinds of great ideas. But when it comes into actually putting this into play, there could be all kinds of hiccups and hangups. It's like freaking Waze. Cross the street here. There is a roadblock and everybody's going 80,000 miles per hour. Are you serious? Like, you're going to kill me, bitch.
That's not realistic.
Exactly. I would say start at the top, have that support, start, and then have some collaboration with your policies to begin with, and then build from there.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I also think that it behooves all of us to do our part to create that culture. Even if you're not at the top, make sure that you're calling people in and giving them space to use their voice and weigh in with their expertise. Like, I'll do this all the time in meetings that, you know, somebody, if I notice somebody isn't talking very much or maybe seems a little bit nervous, I'll call them in and say, you know, hey, what do you think about this? But yeah, I think it's important to elevate everyone's voice. Everyone has something important to offer.
I agree. Maybe this starts at the executive level too, in terms of rewarding and recognizing folks that are collaborating with one another in the organization. Because I do think that has been a roadblock, right? Like, everybody says, well, yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense that people would work together, but we are not in la la land and that's not realistic. But when people at a high level are rewarding that type of behavior, and that's something that is seen as an asset, that actually helps to drive others to have motivation to be more collaborative. It also allows people to feel safe and understood. It's very typical that when you have two completely different groups of people, like the farmers and the cowmen, like IT and legal, they come at work in a very different way. They work differently. They see things differently. It's good as an organization that you have people that are proficient in these areas. But it's also totally normal and to be expected that it's going to be hard sometimes for them to sit down and speak the same language. And having respect for one another is a really important thing. You know, another reason why I think it's important to have a collaborative culture is it saves the company money. When you think about all the things that you can do with technology, and these tools cost money. I mean, let's be frank, if you're going to have a software that's going to come in and look at your data within your organization and tell you at the touch of your fingertip, this is where all the people in your organization are saving data. This is how long it's been there. These are the people that are involved there. Hey, run some keywords through it. Do all of these great things. It's going to take technology to get you there, and technology costs money. I think the biggest mistake that companies make is siloing their budgets for these purposes, because everybody needs to get at that data and use it in very similar ways. I need to get at my company's data and figure out metadata for dates needed for retention policy compliance, or for PII, or for search words privacy, or for search words, metadata, all the things for an investigation like legal or litigation. Or I need dates and authors and roles and logging for IT security. Everybody is essentially looking at the same data and pulling a lot of the different pieces of that data that overlap with tools. Collaborate together, spend your money wisely, build relationships with vendors who can help you to achieve what you need as an organization in an efficient way. You can only do that through collaboration. Otherwise, you become some sort of like money suck for the whole company, and you never have the tools that you need to actually accomplish your job in an efficient way. And everybody is frustrated when that happens. That's another key reason why we definitely benefit from a culture of collaboration.
Well, that brings us to the end of this show. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a 5-star review and tell your friends, family, and coworkers about us. And of course, please hit us up on LinkedIn or through our website, which is ediscoverychicks.com, with any thoughts, questions, and drink recommendations. Also with any holiday gossip. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.
The views we've expressed today are the eDiscovery Chicks views and don't necessarily represent the views of our employers, partners, or clients. This podcast is available solely for educational purposes to provide general information about eDiscovery principles and not to provide legal advice to any specific situation. It is not a substitute for legal advice from a lawyer you've retained who has agreed to represent you.